Brendan.
Hey, Alan.
Time for another Not A Thing podcast. We're a day late, so we have so many things to talk about.
Same as it ever was.
Right. We almost had a guest this week. We might try for a guest next week. We'll just see how it goes. If you would like to be a guest on the Not A Thing podcast, feel free to let us know via our Twitter account, our Facebook, our website. We have email, that kind of thing. We sort of have a Google Plus account. I did register for like Not A Thing podcast or Not A Thing at Google Plus, but I don't know. I'm not really feeling the Google Plus kind of.
You're not feeling you're nonplussed?
I'm nonplussed.
About indeed. Google
Plus? Well said. Well said. Yeah, that pretty much covers it. So I think obviously I have the account. We'll maybe see if we can drum up some support over there. But otherwise, get a hold of us. Let us know. We'd love to have you on. It's always interesting. No, really, it always is.
Don't worry. We know what we're doing. We're sort of professionals.
Yeah, this is like, number 43 now? Something like that?
If we were professionals, we would know the exact number. But right. Generally, it's in the mid-40s.
Yeah, we've almost been doing this a year. Pretty wild. We're going to have to do something big for the year one. I'm not sure what yet, but we'll think of something.
Video podcast.
Oh, ooh.
No, no.
Not a thing.
The bandwidth couldn't take it.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's jump right in. And I think we are starting on a thing that's not a thing this week, which is somewhat uncharacteristic of us. But this one was a biggie. I mean, when I read about this, I wrote it down right away. I don't think I texted you right away when I'd heard about it.
I think I actually heard about this a week or two ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awful. Essentially, some folks, there was some like semi-organized ring of people that were going to Disney World. I think it was Walt Disney World. And they were employing handicapped tour guides and disabled guests. They were like paying them off to kind of come with them in order to jump ahead in line. And I don't know how you feel about that, but I think the word deplorable comes to mind.
That's a very publishable word, deplorable. Yep. I would go with something like shitty, because I'm crass like that. But I feel like in this situation, that's warranted.
Yeah, this is the Not A Thing podcast can officially call this one.
Renting disabled people is not a thing.
Yes. As much as you like riding rides at Disneyland, and I am 100% guilty of loving rides at Disneyland, I don't think I would ever stoop to that to cut in line. I mean, that's really what it is. You're cutting in line, and as we all know, no cuts, no butts, no interrupts.
What?
Is that
a thing?
That's not what you heard growing up? Like the...
No.
No?
Was that written on some like sarsaparilla bottle or...
It was on the Rosetta Stone, I believe.
Not the language learning software, the actual Rosetta Stone. Right.
It was in Greek and then in Latin and then in English for kindergartners, which is
right.
Yeah, which is where I learned it. But yeah, you don't cut. I mean, you don't even do back cuts. Come on. That's just not cool.
What's wrong with a back cut? I'm kidding. Cuts under no circumstances.
Oh, but yeah, I think I don't know if there's any legal precedent for doing this, or any way that Disney can enforce, you know, some kind of way around this. But
well, it is a private park, and so they set the rules, and their response has been, "You will be banned if you do this."
Oh, good. That makes me feel a little better.
And they got the support from the Americans with Disabilities. American Association of People with Disabilities agreed with Disney's stance of nope, no exploitation.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's reasonable.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot you have to say about this other than it's awful. So
I mean, you gotta say points to them for thinking of that. But like plus 100 points for thinking of it. Minus 10,000 for being an asshole.
Yeah, I think that ratio is about fair. I mean, ingenuity only goes so far when counterbalanced by, you know, basic human decency, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. So stand in line, you know, go there early, get your, do the fast pass thing and get your reservation spot for later in the day, but don't.
Or go when it's raining and then no one's in line.
Yeah.
Then you get wet, but you get to not have to stand in line.
Right. I've actually never been to Disneyland when it was raining.
I have. Oh. And I took full advantage of that.
Excellent. Yeah, I did so. I went to Knott's Berry Farm, and it was a similar thing. And what's weird is, I mean, Disney rides are mostly, they're mostly indoors. There's some rides that are outdoors, but Knott's Berry Farm, the majority of them are roller coasters, and roller coasters in the rain is a little weird. Like, that rain hits you at, you know, 50 miles an hour. It's not as pleasant as it could be. But I see that Disneyland in the rain is probably a good thing.
For the indoor rides.
Right. Cool. I'm glad we could end that on a mostly positive note.
Yeah. Be nice.
Yes.
Don't cut. Don't be a moralist douchebag.
coming into our always standard themes about drones is some another more news out of Domino's. I mean, last week Domino's was making DVDs that smell like pizza, and this week the news is that Domino's supposedly is testing drone-delivered pizza.
I mean, give it to Domino's, leading the way in boondoggle promotions. they're inventive, but these are some dumb ideas.
Yeah. they made a, I think it's like a 10-minute video. It seemed really long for what was essentially, we can deliver pizza by drone, and they show a what looks like an eight rotor drone copter with cameras all over it, carrying a pizza in what I hope is a heated, if not just insulated, box to its destination. And because of the way that they were showing the camera angles, there was at least two other drones that had to be flying around or alongside it in order to get the camera angles they were getting. So I don't know. It just seems like there's an excessive way to deliver a pizza.
I would not trust that. I've worked for years in the pizza business before I got the hell out of there.
And went full-time podcaster, right? Full-time podcaster?
Yeah, now I live a life of luxury podcasting. I bought out. But I've worked with a lot of different delivery drivers, and there are some great people, but there are not many of them that I would trust to fly a drone. It's amazing that they're allowed to drive cars. I have to imagine flying a drone while you're baked out of your mind is a lot harder than driving a car.
Yeah, not to mention that It seems like such a bad system, the way that the drone gets out there, because they show the drone kind of flying and then getting to its destination, and then the person calmly pulls the pizzas out of the box. It's like, no, that's not going to happen.
You're not supposed to go to your rotors.
Right. Unless the drone is, like, you know, skyhooking it into your house somehow, I'm pretty sure you don't want to let anyone near crazy spinning rotor blades. That's another no cuts kind of situation, I think. But
and what are you going to do when one of those gets taken down by some hooligan with an RPG?
Or a ship-mounted laser.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all bad. I feel like they should stick to, 3D printing the pizzas. I think that's a better and safer method for pizza delivery than drone flights.
Or maybe Domino's is teaming up with the Obama administration for Obama's drone program. Ooh. And they're trying to, you know, balance it out. It's like, yeah, we're going to blow this guy up, but, you know, his family will give him some pizzas.
It's the same flight, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of. It's got the dual payload kind of going on.
It's like the care packages they would drop before we invaded Iraq.
Right.
All the leaflets saying, hey, we're the good guys.
But here, have pizza. I think it's more than likely just a publicity stunt. I mean, I think that drone delivery of anything is just fraught with problems, because all it takes is, you don't even need two companies to have problems delivering stuff by drone. I mean, there's that kind of the collision aspect of it, you know, automatically. But exactly what you said, like, all it takes is one baked out dude to, you know, fly it through a building, and all of a sudden everyone is sued into closure for sure. So
you could have a whole new pizza wars on your head with Pizza Hut sending up drones that are armed. They're going to be shooting down other people's drones to steal their business.
I'm sure that and then places like McDonald's would have like no fly zones over them.
Right. It seems like it's a lot more trouble than it's worth.
Right. Right. We
much
don't
like invading Iraq.
Also, potentially not a thing. Domino's drones, interesting publicity stunt, probably not a thing for actual full-time use.
Yeah, I mean, most of the stuff you see in the news about drones in general is not positive.
Right.
It's always when something goes wrong and somebody gets killed that they weren't supposed to. I don't know why Domino's would think, hey, you know what people love? Drones. Let's use those.
Right. They might want to wait until, there's a more positive connotation around drones. I'm not sure when that will be, but, they might want to wait.
What they need to do is get that Red Bull guy who jumped from space.
Yeah.
Have him deliver a pizza.
Just personally, space dropping into people's homes for pizza delivery.
That would be a great commercial. You've got Felix Baumgartner up in his capsule with a little oven in it. And then you see the timer dings that the pizza's done, throws it in a box, jumps from space,
and lands
on the doorstep.
He should use it as a heat shield. So it cooks on the way down.
I would eat that pizza.
I would also eat this pizza.
Space pizza.
That's a free one, Domino's. You can let us know when that one comes out. We'll talk about it again.
Maybe better next luck week. Next time.
Who knows? speaking of crazy fast methods of travel, our friend, hopefully our friend Elon Musk.
Elon. Yeah.
Yeah. Made Tony Stark. Elon Musk made a. Made an offhand comment about Hyperloop transport, supposedly taking 45 minutes to go between San Francisco and New York. And I had never heard of Hyperloop before as a transport kind of method. So I looked it up, and it's essentially the upgraded version of those things at Costco where they like shoot little like the receipts between the registers and the like central office thing there. So pneumatic tubes, but instead of, you know, it rattling around inside the tube,
it's maglev.
Yes. So it's magnetically levitating and then stabilized within this metal tube. So it's a completely frictionless surface. And then they just use, it sounds like, compressed air to move you from, you know, one place to another. And other than the magnets, which supposedly can, you know, other than the magnets, you're just pushing air around. And the way that it was described was that you could just put solar panels over the whole thing, and that would be more than enough power to deal with everything. And that sounds amazing.
That does sound pretty awesome.
It was like speeds of over, what was it, 450 miles an hour?
4,000.
Yeah, it has to be faster 4,000
miles an hour.
Right, to do San Francisco to New York, it has to be a little faster than 400. So 4,000 miles per hour.
But what happens if one of those things breaks down and you're stuck in Iowa? Or you're traveling across the Atlantic and you're stuck in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the odd thing, because the way I understand it is for it to be frictionless and be able to get up to that speed, it would also probably have – you'd probably also have to pump all or most of the air out, which would kind of be a problem if something broke down.
Well, seeing the trouble that it's been to get a bullet train from LA to San Francisco, getting one of these built across the country seems very challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, I mean, I guess 4,000 miles an hour would take like 8 minutes to go between San Francisco and LA or something like that.
It'd be faster than driving across San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that in 8 minutes.
Yeah. We're getting close to transporters. I think matter disassembly should be a thing. Actually, matter reassembly should be
a thing.
Yes.
You gotta have both, otherwise that's not effective.
Right. Right. Or it is effective, but it's not a transporter. It's something else.
Right.
but yeah, I think it's an interesting comment from him. Good for him for pulling that out. Did you see his other bit of news? They tested a rocket just this last week that puts out something like I forget how much force, but they were likening it to enough force to lift a skyscraper. And it's part of the SpaceX, the vertical takeoff rocket that they're making.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool. I think, the shot of it is pretty rad. They only have, unfortunately, there's like no other press that I could find other than the tweet from him of, look at this massive rocket firing. Which I think should be a thing. We should, any chance we can get to, try and break Earth's orbit is fine in my book.
Speed and space are two things that the future should have. Should be a thing.
And then kind of on the flip side of speed and space is comfortable boxes. tiny boxes. So some news that came out of Finland of all places was the headline was something like Finnish babies sleep in boxes, and I think it's a good headline because it's really good to grab, but
like what?
It's actually pretty fascinating if you read the rest of the article. And the short form is that when babies are born in Finland, the parents have the option to get a it's either like 120 euros or a box with a bunch of clothes and, you know, advice for care of babies, and then some.
It's all the stuff you would need to keep a baby alive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and then I hook back to the medical system in Finland, which I'm guessing is probably you know, state sponsored.
Yes.
So yeah.
No, the government hands out these boxes
right
to new parents, and they started doing this program in the 30s, and the infant mortality rate is so much lower than it used to be. I mean, it was very high, so that has to be taken into account, but it's much lower now.
Right. And the headline for the boxes is the box doubles as a crib for the newborn for the, you know, first few months anyway, before it outgrows it. But, you know, it's just recycling, right? Use all the parts of the animal or cardboard box, as it were.
Yeah.
But, it comes with, like, clothes of kind of varying sizes and is much more, much, much more than anything, you know, like kind of U.S. related that is given to a baby. I mean, there's, you know, there are baby showers and there's kind of the gifts that people are given and the ones that people register for, and everyone wants a diaper genie. But I mean, what I think using some amount of that kind of knowledge to figure out, okay, a baby probably needs X, Y, and Z, and then putting that in a box that just everybody gets seems like a good idea.
It seems like a great idea that would never be implemented in America.
Right, right.
we've seen how the government has flipped out about just birth control. Imagine giving out boxes full of stuff that could actually keep babies alive.
Well, you know, the government is mostly concerned with making sure that the babies are born. And then
right.
Once they're born,
then it's your problem. That's freedom.
America. Freedom isn't free, as was said in that.
Well, one of the things contained in the box is condoms. So that alone, boom, that'll never happen.
Right, right, right. Oh, Finland. You have so many good things. Is Finland the pirate party? Oh, no, that's Sweden.
Yeah.
That's Sweden. Okay. I knew it was a Nordic
country.
I really
know nothing else about Finland.
I actually...
Is that like less good Norway or something? Is that what Finland is? If anyone knows anything about Finland, let me know, because I know nothing about that country.
Oh my gosh, that's gonna be the lead for this episode.
Finland, less good Norway. I mean, I guess I'm really giving Norway the benefit of the doubt. It could be that Norway is the less good Finland, but I'm not gonna say that.
We know there are a couple friends of the podcast who are Norwegian. We'll have to find out from them. We'll see.
They could be totally unrelated. I doubt it, but it could be the case. Just based on my experience, Norway seems like a pretty neat place. Finland seems like it's maybe that's their Canada? I don't know. Let us know.
I think you might be right. I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna go with that.
That's a nicer way of putting it.
Finland, Norway's Canada.
Ignorant Americans on a podcast.
Oh man. All right. Well, I think
speaking of babies.
Yes. So we are definitely entering spoiler territory right now. So if you have not seen the 9th episode of this season, of the 3rd season of Game of Thrones, you may want to turn away.
I would put it stronger than that. Don't listen to this.
Part of me was like, oh, you should go watch that episode. And the part of me is like, actually, no, maybe you shouldn't watch that episode.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel right telling someone, oh, yeah, go do this.
Yeah.
Don't be traumatized.
So I believe the episode's name was The Reigns of Castamere.
Yes.
Which is a reference to the previous episode where Cersei is talking to what's her name? Marjorie Tyrell?
Marjorie, yeah.
About let me tell you this story about the Lannisters and how they pretty much like killed an entire house of people.
Yeah, they wiped out an entire family.
Right.
And have this great song that they sing.
Yeah.
To celebrate how ruthless they are. It's their song.
So that was the big hint for this week's episode, most recent episode. And oh my, was that a hint.
That was brutal.
Yes. Probably I don't know. I'm sure other stuff happened in this episode. But yeah, that was kind of a, like, the last, I would almost say 15 minutes were spent on probably one of the most just brutal kind of reader and watcher kind of loop
crushing
that I've ever seen. Right. Yeah, I mean, those of you that have been familiar with Game of Thrones, whom I'm assume are the only people listening right now.
And if you don't, if you're not a watcher or a reader, then you should be.
Yeah.
Although don't take this episode as necessarily the reason why.
Right. I mean, the George R. R. Martin has obviously, likes to mix it up. And does not keep things predictable at all. And after, if you've watched the first season, you realize that by the end of the season, very, very quickly.
This is the episode why, when people were watching the first season, and I read all the books before the first season, they said, "Oh, I can't believe they killed Eddard Stark. They cut his head off. I didn't see that coming."
Yeah,
and I just said to everybody, "Just wait for it. It gets worse." This is what I was talking about.
Oh my gosh. So I had no idea how infamous this scene is in the books. I was reading on Reddit, as you do, some things. And there's an entire subreddit that's called Halfway Through a Song of... It's a, that's the name of the subreddit. It's Halfway Through ASOS. And they started this subreddit a while ago, and it's for people that have gotten to this scene in the book and just been like, and it's a support group for that.
This was the scene in this book that, for the first time in my life, I read something and I threw my book away from me at the wall.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
I'm glad I wasn't reading on Kindle, because I've already broken one Kindle. I don't want to break another. I'm glad I didn't break another one. But yeah. Hope is for fools.
Yeah. Right. It is definitely one of the most, I mean, it wasn't necessarily the most violent thing I've ever seen on TV, but it had to be one of the most, if not the most, like soul crushing after being so invested in the characters and the storylines, and like how kind of the general kind of mood of the the work up to that point. It's like, okay, things are moving, things are aligning, there are these directions, and it's going in that direction, and you can kind of feel like a momentum, and then this thing is just like guillotine right into the middle of it.
The good guys are going to have their revenge and save the day.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they're dead.
And I actually wish it were as quick as that, but it was not.
No. And no, I mean, having read the books and knowing that it was coming still didn't fully prepare me.
That is surprising. Funny. Well, no, go ahead.
In the books, Rob's wife isn't there,
mm-hmm.
and she is not pregnant. And it's actually one of the other points in the book where she's not pregnant, and so she gets hostaged off somewhere. But in this, they set it up where she was pregnant and was there, and then got stabbed the way she did.
Yeah.
That was some next level shit.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even know what where to begin with that, because that is the first blow in the scene, is that they, you know, they stab the pregnant lady. It's like, ah.
Not once, repeatedly.
Right.
In the womb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only kind of light thing about that, and I feel like you have to, you know, search for those kinds of light moments when you have this like awful sequence on TV, was I'd seen a kind of a, you know, a meme style picture that was it was something like, she should have known that naming the baby Ned Stark was going to be a bad thing. A name kind of associated with a premature death. Yeah. That was rough. But yeah, the sequence goes for quite a while, and you know, the people that you care about, I mean, everyone in that scene dies pretty much, but the people that you kind of care about, they don't die quickly. It's like they really, really die, and it's
they suffer first and then die.
It's,
and you don't even see on screen. I mean, you get some sense if they showed some of it, but the entire, all of Rob's men, all of them dead.
Right.
No one makes it.
Yeah. Yeah. You get the sense that, because I, right after, like when Arya is outside and there's the people hanging out and then they get killed. You get the sense that they're not stopping with the people in that room. They're killing everybody. So yeah, that's not a good situation at all.
And I wonder if it was intentional that in a previous scene they show Bran warging into a creature, mm-hmm. into his wolf, and they show Oral, that wildling guy, when he's dying, he moves into his bird.
Yeah.
And then so that you see Rob die, and then they show the wolf, and you think, oh, maybe he's just going to move into the wolf. And then they kill the wolf.
Yeah, that was pretty rough too, because you kind of you think, at least when Arya is like, oh, Arya's gonna let him out, and no, not at all. Actually, she that's pretty much a exactly what the Hound said. You know, it's like you keep checking like something's gonna happen, and yeah, something happened.
The other scene, I don't say I liked that scene. I did, from a storytelling standpoint.
Yeah.
It was hard to watch. But the scene when Jorah and Dario Naharis and Grey Worm come back from sacking the city.
Yeah.
They come back and see
Khaleesi.
The Khaleesi. The look on Jorah's face when she asks about Dario.
Right.
He was so bummed.
It's just like on The Simpsons when Ralph Wiggum takes Lisa to, like, there was some like award show or something, and they were on TV, and then the host is like, when are you two kids gonna get together? And And then Lisa like breaks his heart and is like, no, we're not friends. We're not going out, blah, blah, blah. And then Bart was playing it back. It's like, look, you can actually see the moment when his heart explodes. And that was exactly the scene when you can see the exact like second when his expression just goes.
Well, yeah, he's never going to get the relationship that he wants.
No.
Just not looking good for him. Real bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. I mean, not a wonderful sequence there either. But it was nice to see he and Grey Worm like fighting.
Yeah, Grey Worm was a badass.
I think when I can't even think of the last time I saw Sir Jorah fighting. I mean, he's always been kind of like, you know, he's good at yelling Khaleesi. He's really good at yelling.
He's the best.
Yeah. but it was nice to see them kind of fighting a little bit. It actually reminded me a lot of what is the name of that show? Spartacus.
Yeah.
Kind of pouring one out on the curb for that one. did we actually ever talk about Spartacus on this show?
I don't think we did.
Yeah.
Cause that was another bummer ending.
Yeah.
That you knew was coming. But
Right. Good show.
That might be that's probably the most violent show I've seen. That's much more violent than, I mean, this was hard to watch, but there's been some very hard to watch scenes in that show.
Yeah, that show does not pull punches. I mean, and Stars, I feel like, is not even a like a premium channel. I want to say that it still counts as like extended basic for some.
I think it's a premium. You have to pay for it.
You do. It's not like.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I thought Stars was just one you got. Like, you know, it's like.
Well, maybe if you got the fancy package. But yeah. No, you got to pay for that.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel a little better now because I'm like, for the stuff they get away with.
That's why they can show nudity.
And oh my, they do. And not just women, ladies and gentlemen. Not just women.
No, that was an equal opportunity show for nudity.
In fact, I think it was maybe even unequal for some.
Right.
For first season. I just remember there was there's this one scene when Crixus is he's giving a speech, and it was like they're right after being bathed. So he's naked. And it's, you know, it's not the kind of thing where it's like, oh yeah, they showed him getting out of the water, so he's naked for a second, and then he gives this.
No, he's just standing there swinging.
No, and they're changing camera angles and not hiding. It's like, this is still happening. It's impressive. It's a good show.
It was a show with the biggest Merkin budget on television. I don't know if that's an official figure, but I'm pretty sure. Just
right,
I'm pretty sure.
I think it would be difficult to match their Merkin budget. I agree.
But Game of Thrones, you're welcome to try. I won't stop you.
Oh, yes. So Game of Thrones. So I have to ask, and you don't have to spoil this. You probably shouldn't. But does it ever get better?
Oh, you mean like in a positive, like it looks like good things are going to happen?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. In this, as far as the book chronology goes, we're in book two.
Right.
Or no, sorry, book three.
Right. Like the first half of book three.
Yeah,
right?
First half of book three. I've read five books so far, and I'm still waiting for that turnaround.
Oh, jeez.
So I've still got another, like, I'm 2,500 or probably close to 3,000 pages past where we are now. And I'm still waiting.
I mean, there are good things coming, right? There's at least some amount of vengeance, I hope.
Well, not really. I mean, kind of.
Okay.
Not... bad things happen to bad people, okay. But bad things continue to happen to good people.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's not your traditional yay, the good guys win story. At least not yet. I'm okay. Still holding out hope that in the last book he doesn't. And he doesn't die before he writes it. Because that would be a bummer.
Yeah. But it's well written and so far well translated to TV.
Oh yeah. No, they've done a great job adapting it.
Yeah. I think if nothing else, TV should take away the kind of the storytelling quality level. And the really the just the complete unpredictability of how it goes and how people are still interested to watch and follow it, despite not having that kind of very kind of really just kind of worn, predictable kind of weight of things. I mean, not to say that everything should have kind of weird, dark, and brutal kind of segments of it.
Speaking of which, Breaking Bad coming back in 9 weeks.
Yes, August 11th. I am so ready. But yeah. But at the same time, it really speaks to, you know, if there's quality kind of writing and production values and characters and acting, people appreciate that, and that should continue to be a thing.
That was pretty and that's positive. Much more positive than anything in Game of Thrones. So I think that's a good place to end it.
Excellent. Well, I will probably need another palate cleanser after after just thinking about that for the last few minutes. I don't know what you used as a palate cleanser after watching.
Well, I went and saw Fast and Furious 6 again because I needed to. I mean, I saw this episode on Sunday, and then yesterday I went and saw it again because my mind has just been not happy, and that's a happy movie.
Yeah. So go, you know, if now that we've, you know, repolluted your brain with the thoughts of the Red Wedding, feel free to, you know, listen to like a Nerdist podcast or something to make
or one of our earlier less downer
there we go
episodes. Let's like, not plug someone else's podcast.
Right. I like that.
I highly recommend, but if you are going to do that, I highly recommend the How Did This Get Made episode for Fast and Furious 6.
Because ooh,
it's great. It's a excellent. Good analysis.
Cool. Well, until next time, Brennan, I will talk to you later.
Give my regards.